Today in this homily, I'd like to do a little bit of work on how we can do a good examination of conscience, especially inspired by the words that Jesus just gave to us here, reminding us that you cannot serve both God and mammon. And here, mammon is a kind of a way of being able to speak about the love of money, greed. It says you cannot serve both God and greed and the love of money. So I'd like to use this as an opportunity for us to reflect on how we do a good examination of conscience, and we'll use this as a guidepost for us. Now, we do this examination of conscience. As Catholics, we do this on a regular basis. I mean, we had actually an examination of conscience just a few minutes ago at the beginning of the Mass. I asked everyone to pause for a moment, to call to mind their sins, to ask God for pardon and peace. And so we do this. Of course, we do this in a more extensive way in our own personal prayer. Perhaps in preparation for receiving the sacrament of confession, we'll make a good examination of conscience. Maybe at other times, maybe especially at the end of the day, I know a lot of people find that this is a good time to do an examination of conscience. How did I do today? Did I live today as a child of God? Did I serve God, or did I serve, well, the love of money or some other sin that would be a false god in place? So there's this call to do this examination of conscience, and we should do so well. We should do so with the mind of Christ, seeing the world as Christ would see the world, seeing our actions as Christ would see and judge them. We should have the mind of Christ to make a good examination of our conscience. So for this, I'd like to look at this, as I said, this sin of greed. You cannot serve both God and mammon. But I'd like to use a little bit of a contrasting point so that we can be able to, I think, better understand the mind of Christ around this question of the love of money. And so for that, we're gonna look at Jesus' teachings in two areas, two moral areas. One in the area of greed, the love of money, and the other in the area of lust and of the integration of our human sexuality. Kind of be able to look at these two things and come to a deeper way of experiencing this examination. Let's take, first of all, a look at Jesus' teachings when he talks about sin that can come in the form of this lust, the disintegration of our human sexuality. So, what do we see? Well, Jesus has two main teachings on this topic throughout the entire Gospels. If you look at all the Gospels, two major teachings. One, he has a teaching at the Sermon on the Mount where he says, "You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, you shall not even look upon another with lust in your heart." Right? So there's this call of not just simply the outward works of sin, but even the transformation of the heart, right? All the way down to the transformation of the heart in this question of lust. Another teaching that Jesus has on this, again, the second teaching, is when he speaks about marriage. They come to him and say, "Well, Lord, is it permissible for a man to divorce his wife and then remarry?" And Jesus says, "No, the one who divorces his wife and then remarries commits adultery." So he's talking about the permanence of marriage and married life. And actually, if you look through the whole Gospels, that's it. Just those two teachings. Powerful, important teachings. And the implications of them are quite profound if you take the time to really understand them. But those two teachings. There's a couple other sort of tangential parts where Jesus would come across this. Not so much in his teachings per se, but in the way that he was acting as well. Think, for example, the woman who's caught in adultery, right? And they're brought before him, and he saves her from stoning, but then he says to her, "Go and sin no more," right? "I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more." Very similar sort of story happens in the house of Simon the Pharisee. A sinful woman comes, and Jesus offers her forgiveness of her sins as well. Okay, So that's the teachings of Jesus in this area of lust, and again, that this integration, this call to integration of our human sexuality. Let's take a look then at Jesus' teaching on greed and the sin that can be able to come from this. Well, we have the teaching of today that you cannot serve both God and mammon, right? Reminding us the importance of not having false gods, but having God as our, the one whom we give ultimate service to, right? We also have another wonderfully powerful teaching that Jesus gives, where he says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be. It's a powerful teaching right there. He has more teachings, though, more than just two. We start looking through, we can start finding that they're actually kind of all over the place. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you know, blessed are the poor. Then he turns around and he says, but woe to you who are rich. So he's giving this warning about this greed that can come. He also teaches us to rely on God's providence and not simply to store up wealth for ourselves. In the Our Father, he tells us, say to God, say to your Father, give us this day our daily bread. He says again in the Sermon on the Mount, look, do not say to yourselves, what shall we eat and what shall we wear? For God gives food to the sparrows, and he clothes the grass of the field, the lilies of the field. So trust that your Father knows what you need, and don't be anxious about wealth. We could go into the parables of Jesus. In the parables of Jesus, we have certain ones that speak directly about the folly of loving for the love of money, right? The man who builds up his, the rich man who has all of these good things, and he says, well, I'll build up bigger barns to store them all in, right? And then he dies that night, and Jesus says, what's the point, right? To whom shall your wealth belong to now? So what's the folly of following greed? We even see this theme of greed in the parables that don't really have anything to do with greed per se. Take a look at the two greatest parables, I would say the two greatest parables that Jesus teaches, the Good Samaritan and the Prodigal Son. Both of them, greed is the backdrop to the story. In the Good Samaritan, what happens? The man is robbed. It's an act of greed. The Good Samaritan who cares for him is praised for his generosity in giving money to the innkeeper to pay for his medical needs. In the parable of the prodigal son, again, we see that it's greed that really is the inciting incident. He comes to his father and says, give to me my share of the inheritance. A blatant, disrespectful act of greed on the side of the younger son who says this to his father. And that kicks off all of the rest of what will happen, including the real drama behind the father's forgiveness. And we could look yet even further into Jesus' life. Some of the most important moments, not just of his teachings, but of his very life, were defined by this. The cleansing of the temple. Jesus casts out the money changers and says, do not make my father's house into a den of thieves. And finally, Jesus is betrayed in an act of greed, sold by one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of silver. So if we were to take a look at the mind of Jesus, what's on Jesus' mind? What is he thinking about? What is he very concerned about? What is he teaching often on? And what shows up even when he's not directly teaching about it, but is kind of in the background of his thoughts, even as he does so? Well, again, we could kind of compare and say, well, here's Jesus' concern about sin that can come through the form of lust, and it's there, and it's something that you need to take seriously if you're going to be a Christian. But then you can look at the way Jesus warns about the love of money, and it's so much more present in all of Jesus' teachings. Again, this is not to say that one is like necessarily, you know, what sin is greater or something like that, but obviously in the mind of Christ, this is something that's he's very concerned that we think about and that we reflect on and that we're concerned about when we examine our own lives and our own conscience. So this would be something good for us to take to our examination of conscience. What is my relationship to money? Do I have the virtue of that generosity? Or do I find myself hoarding and falling into this trap of greed and the love of money, as Jesus speaks again and again and again about? Now, I bring this up especially because it's something that I've noticed in my own work in the ministry in the Catholic Church. And this is true in every single parish that I have ever been to. This is true in every single retreat that I've ever worked on. People will come to me and they will have questions. They'll say, Father, I have some moral questions. I have something that's bothering in my heart. I have some guilt or some shame around some particular area. I'd like to get your advice. I'd like you to help me out in this moral question or moral quandary that I have here, right? And so, of course, great. People come to me and they will ask me for some advice. But here's what I find in the ratio. That people are often very sensitive and concerned about the questions that have to do with sexual immorality, lust. But yet, when it comes to the question of greed, it almost never shows up. Think about that for a second. How closely are our minds conformed to the minds of Christ as Catholics? Again, this is not to say that, like, you don't worry about different areas, other areas of morality. Certainly, those are areas that need to be focused on. But in the mind of Christ, we see this great concern that there's a big trap that we can fall into. And maybe, again, just the reflection that I have in my own ministry, we don't even notice that that trap is there. So, the call from this homily today. Again, this is a reflection for us for the sake of making a good examination of conscience. A good examination of conscience. And I think just my call here is, to be able to really be thoughtful, careful, to try to put on the mind of Christ by calling to mind Jesus' teachings that we hear again and again throughout the Gospels about our relationship to money and our call to be able to not be attached to this love of money, but instead be able to be using it for the good of God's people. I think if we can be able to be more careful, more conscientious about this in our examination of conscience, we will more and more find ourselves putting on the mind of Christ. Amen.